Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This episode is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
I was constantly told that my life was going to be harder because I was different. And what I wish I would have heard more is how my life is going to be beautiful because I'm different, how I'm going to change the world because I'm different, how I'm going to have like a different perspective than other people, and how like the reason that things are hard is because society isn't built for me. So I'm going to change society so that I fit in.
Yeah.
That's how I've operated.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie. I'm your gay host, and this is the show that celebrates, uplifts, highlights, and normalizes LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities, y'all. And it is a holiday edition because it's December. If you're listening to this the day this episode drops, it's my birthday. Happy birthday, Jamie. I'm old. I'm an old mama who is dealing with birthdays because my birthday is today and my daughter's birthday is in 2 days. And we've been in a holiday hell, as I've talked to y'all about already on an episode. Too many birthdays in this year's season in the Kelwoods family house. And so we're getting close to at least a little bit of a break from it, because then comes Christmas and Hanukkah, because the kids want to celebrate that too. Although we're not Jewish, but we're not Christian either. So I get it. It makes sense. But we're still in it, but we're getting close to somewhat of an end. Anyway, this episode is a really great one. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Aiden, aka Fly Guy Circus. Aiden is a trans dad who started out as a solo parent, then met his partner. They are a polyamorous couple. And a little trigger warning here, we do talk about miscarriages, a couple of miscarriages, and we do go into a little bit of depth about that. So if that is something that is triggering for you or painful for you, just take care of yourselves. I understand that that can be hard to listen to. But my main takeaway with this conversation is that us queer folks are intentional AF, and I have no doubt that Aiden and his partner, Jenna, are amazing parents and are doing their best with their little kiddo. And I'm so inspired by how creative we queer folks are when it comes to family building and family planning and showing up in the world. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. It's a great episode. And I want to let you know before I roll this here tape that I'm going on a little hiatus for the holidays, because the Kelwoods clan is in holiday hell right now and birthday hell and all of the above. So we're taking a little break. I will be back mid-January with some amazing episodes. I've already recorded some of them, and I'm really going to try to do my best to help us out with the new regime that is coming into the States with some actionable items and some folks that I'm interviewing who are going to help us through what could be a very hard time for us. And maybe not. I don't know. Who knows? Things could change in a month. I have no idea. But let's see. I'm going to find the hope. I'm going to find the silver lining for all of us to listen to and to enjoy. And I'm going to continue sharing these queer family stories no matter what. So I love y'all. A huge thanks to my sponsor, California Cryobank, who's been with me through this whole thing. Use code LOVEISLOVE to get that free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And let's make some more babies, y'all, because I think we're going to make all the change makers and the trailblazers and the folks who make this world a better place. That's my plan, at least. And I hope it's yours. All right. We're going to roll this tape. Here we go. Gerson, Helen, Beulah. Everybody's sober in this house except me because I already had a cocktail with my wife because she's off this week. I'm not, but she is. So we had a cocktail and now I'm recording this little here intro. So I hope you enjoy it. Happy holidays, y'all. I love you. Check me out on the socials. I will be there. I will not ever stop on the socials. I am at the Queer Family Podcast on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook for the time being, unless the trolls don't stop. And always on YouTube, you can catch all the video episodes. Okay, let's roll that tape. Here we go. Helen, Beulah, Gerson, let's roll that tape. Let's go. Here we go.
Queer Family Podcast.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Love is love.
Hi, Aiden.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
I love having you here in the virtual recording studio. And just like on cue, as soon as I welcomed you, my dog, Crazy Kira, started to whine. So we might hear dog whining because she's sitting on my bed right next to me, but we're going to go with it. I have kids in the other room too, so listeners beware.
You might hear a dog on my end too, so.
Exactly. We've got a lot going on. We're parents. Let's go right into your 30-second elevator pitch so you can tell me and the listeners at home who you are and why you are here. I'm very excited talking to the Queer Fam Squad. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
On your mark, get set, go.
I'm Aiden. My pronouns are he, him. I am a trans man. I recently gave birth to a baby who is now 8 months old, so it's not that recent, and that's a bit crazy. I started my journey trying to be a solo parent and ended up finding my wife along the way. And yeah, now I have a co-parent and we're polyamorous. I'm neurodivergent and there we go.
You did amazing. And you were like done at like 20 seconds, but you tried to fill the time. That's amazing. That's beautiful. I can't wait to hear your whole story, Aiden. This is awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
8 months. You made it to 8 months.
Yeah.
How you doing? How you guys holding up?
Pretty good. I feel like being a queer parent is great. Yeah, we have like a good dynamic. We have a very good co-parenting relationship and I feel like it's fairly balanced and I'm off work for a year, so that also helps.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, Aiden, I want to hear all of it. Can we take it back? I guess if we can take it back to when young Aiden discovered Aiden's queerness, shall we say. Can we take it like way back and you finding yourself and finding who you are in the world? I'd love to start there.
Yeah, I feel like I have always been like queer in some capacity. I've come out many times as many things as one does when trans often. Around grade 9, I came out as bisexual. because I was into women and I thought that, you know, I also was interested in men. I was told that I wasn't allowed to be bisexual because bi erasure happens all the time, that I had to pick one and not be greedy. So I was way more interested in girls and decided that I was just going to be a lesbian if I wasn't allowed to be bisexual.
You had to pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I went with like what I was allowed to do, because that's something I never do, but it's what happened. That never really felt right, but I knew that I was interested in girls and that part felt right. It felt a little bit complicated. I had never really heard of trans men at all. I came out as trans 14 years ago, so the climate was very different. And no one knew what a trans man was. I had to explain everything to people. I originally found that trans men existed by going on YouTube. I was just trying to find queer community as like a young queer without much community. And I came across somebody's video that was a trans man. And I was like, whoa, that's what I am. Right. It's like just like a click very, very quickly was like, oh, that's the piece that I've been missing. And I journeyed with that for like a little bit. It wasn't even very long. And then I came out like very shortly after.
Wait, you're not the only person I've talked to who found the representation they needed on YouTube.
Yeah.
This is like a common theme. First of all, I just want to know, for my own personal reference, what do you type to find uplifting, high, like good highlights of trans people living their life? Because I get into these crazy algorithms with my stuff that I cannot believe the hatred that's out there on YouTube. It scares me.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't been on YouTube probably since then. So I imagine it's quite different. I was looking for lesbian content. I wasn't even looking for trans people. And there was just a channel that also had a trans man on it, somebody that had come out. And that's how I had found that. And then I started looking up like transitioning and found a couple people. There wasn't very many, like YouTube was fairly new still.
Right.
But there were a few people putting their stories out there. So I just like latched on to anyone that I could find and was like, oh, this is me. I've never seen anyone like me before.
Representation matters. It really, really, really matters, right? So that was like your aha moment. That was, oh, that fits completely. And so you went forward and started your transition and take me down the path.
When I do things big, always have. So I decided that when I was ready to come out, I like made a YouTube video and just like released it for the whole school to watch.
Oh, whoa.
And wow. I was just like, this is who I am. If you don't like it, I don't really care. I'm still going to like do the things I want to do. I was belly dancing at the time. And I was like, I'm not going to stop that because I like this activity and I can be a trans man and still belly dance.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was just like, this is who I am. This is what trans people are. And I don't really care if you don't like me. If you want to ask me questions, feel free to ask me questions. If you want to talk about me, I don't really care. I just kind of like threw myself into the world. That's a very common theme in my life. And it's worked out really well for me. I've been fairly lucky. I also think because I have this like attitude of like, I don't really care what you think. It's kind of hard to get under my skin. Though, like if people know me, I do care. I absolutely care what the people around me think that I know. But when it comes to like strangers, I usually just like let it roll off.
And how was it received?
Really well, especially since we weren't like in this climate and people didn't know anything about trans people. So they would ask questions instead of just like making these weird assumptions of like things that trans people are going to do.
Isn't that interesting? First of all, just to highlight the fact that we're going backwards, like literally, like this was 13 years ago,
yeah,
you said?
14 years ago.
14 years ago, and now you're saying, well, it wasn't so bad because we're not in the climate we're in right now. That's scary. Like, what?
There are pieces that are better, and there are pieces that are worse. It's just, like, different problems. Like, on the one hand, I had, like, no representation at all. There is, like, nobody familiar with trans men specifically. All the representation that I could find for trans women was, like, people vomiting when finding out that like trans women existed or that they had like these secret genitals.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the representation wasn't great. There's just like different problems. Now I can see myself reflected in media, but also there's all these like legislations that are being put on trying to restrict our bodies. And then on the other hand, I also had to go through like a really lengthy process to transition. And there were no doctors who I could even transition with in my city. I had to drive several hours away. And the only reason I even found a doctor there was because I had found some trans community who connected me with a doctor that I could go with. Otherwise, I was going to have to drive all the way to Vancouver.
Yeah, I was going to ask for the listeners at home. You're in Canada.
Yeah, I'm in Canada.
On the west-ish coast of Canada. Oh, wow. Yeah, so big changes and also like few steps forward, few steps back, that kind of thing.
Steps forward in some areas, steps back in other areas.
How old were you when you started that, your process of transitioning? And
17, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you had to go through a lot to get there, basically.
Yeah, like it was really difficult for me to find a doctor. I went to several doctors in like my small city. All of them wouldn't even take me on as a client aside from transness because they were like, you're too complicated. So like if I had any problem of any kind, it didn't matter. It's just like, oh, you're too complicated. I don't want to have to like get into this with you.
Oh my God. What the heck?
Yeah.
So you had to travel.
Yeah.
All right. So you find your doctor, you get the help you need, and then what happens?
I have always wanted to be a parent. Mm-hmm. As long as I can remember, I never thought that I was going to get pregnant. This was something that came later, which I'll get into in a bit. But parenting was already on my mind at that time because I knew that I wanted to have kids. So I looked into whether I should freeze my eggs at that point too. It did delay my transition a little bit because I wasn't sure if I wanted to freeze my eggs. It ended up being like a really expensive process. And also at the time, they didn't have good processes where I am for just freezing eggs. It was only freezing embryos.
Oh.
And they said that they could freeze my eggs, but that the chances like weren't great. I wasn't really ready to like go down the road of picking a sperm donor. I did have a partner that I had planned on parenting with, but I was like, this feels really early. I'm still in high school. I don't want to like make these decisions right now.
Yeah, that's kind of a big decision to have to make in high school.
So I decided against freezing my eggs and was told that I could basically never have biological children if I was going to go down the path of transition. I never planned to have a hysterectomy, but they basically told me that if I started testosterone, there was going to be like no way that I could get pregnant, that like my eggs were going to die, and that like this is what I was signing up for. So I went through a big process of grieving, and then later in life found out that that was not true.
Yeah, it's not true. It's not true. I wonder if doctors are still telling folks that.
Some are, yeah. Yeah. I'm part of like a lot of online trans trying to conceive and parenting groups. And there's definitely people who are hearing that. But I think slowly the medical world is evolving.
So yes, some doctors are saying this, but important fact to state is that it is not true. You can still have children with testosterone in your body, having taken testosterone, right?
Yeah. So I was on testosterone for 8 years before stopping. And yeah, I have a baby.
Okay. Amazing. Is there anything else you'd like to say just about your journey through the transition I'm sure I know it's always a transition and we're all always transitioning, but is there anything else you'd want to say about it?
No, I think that it's just like constantly evolving as I evolve. Yeah, I feel like pretty comfortable in my identity as a trans man. But still, like my ideas of masculinity and femininity and all of those things are constantly evolving as I grow and learn more.
So you also said in your elevator pitch that you're neurodivergent. Do you want to talk to that in any way at all and how that kind of plays into your identity and anything that, you know, has to do with that?
So I have ADHD and I think that in many ways it has made my life beautiful. My just like ability to just throw myself into the world. I feel like being neurodivergent doesn't have to be a bad thing. I didn't find out until I was just like a few years ago because my dad was diagnosed with ADHD. And then I was like, oh, my whole life makes more sense now.
You're hitting a strong chord in me right now as a mom because my daughter has ADHD and it can be tough.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And I was just, it's so funny you say this because we went So I took them on a random outing to like a spy games place where you have to do like all these challenges. It's really cool, actually. It was really fun. I highly recommend it with your kids. But I was watching her and she just literally throws herself. Like, it is all out or nothing. There is no in between. Like, none whatsoever. And I, as a mom, I was like, oh my God, that's a lot. How's she gonna, that's gonna be hard for her. And so you're hitting a really strong chord for me. And I really wanna hear more about how this makes your life beautiful and what your experience has been, like, for me and for all the other parents out there and other folks who have ADHD themselves. Can you expand?
Yeah. I think that that's something I've heard so much growing up as both a trans person and also as a neurodivergent person, even though I didn't know, is that like my life is going to be harder. Like I was constantly told that my life was going to be harder because I was different. And what I wish I would have heard more is how my life is going to be beautiful because I'm different, how I'm going to change the world because I'm different, how I'm going to have like a different perspective than other people. And how like the reason that things are hard is because society isn't built for me. So I'm going to change society so that I fit in.
Yeah.
And that's how I've operated. I think that maybe I was lucky in like not knowing I was neurodivergent because I never like felt like I had limitations. And I knew that there were just like certain things that I was really bad at, like cleaning. Created so many issues in my relationships with like everyone in my life. And now that I know that I have ADHD, it's like so much easier to navigate those conversations.
But is the conversation now just like, well, I can't clean. Sorry. Is that how it works? Or do you...
No, I mean, like I've found different ways. Like I have an app that will like tell us what needs to be cleaned and then I can check it off. And that worked for a few months and then I forgot it existed. So we just have to like keep doing new things, trying new things. And yeah, I've just like learned that there are some pieces, like when I have newness in my life, I tend to be better at doing stuff. So if I can figure out how to navigate that.
How to keep it new, how to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
I love this. I feel like I was really meant to talk to you today of all days because I was just having a talk with my daughter about how she just got this whole new room and we got her a desk and she still hasn't put anything in the desk. Her room is still just a disarray. I'm taking the message from the universe to chill out on my daughter and to lift her up.
Yeah. Especially like neurodivergent people tend to like work really well if you like work with them or just like start cleaning beside her and she might jump on in. There's things I've found in my relationship that work well. And like, I feel like my wife and I have a really good dynamic. So we can also like talk about those things. I definitely do less cleaning than she does. That's just like how it is. But I really like cooking. So I'll do like more cooking and I'm really good at scheduling and planning and doing other things. So I take on other roles in our life to make sure that we're still balanced.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you for that. And it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right, folks, we have to take a second to talk about the sponsor of this here episode, my favorite cryobank in all the land. If you are thinking about growing your family, here is why California Cryobank is the ultimate partner for your LGBTQIA+ family building journey. California Cryobank, for one point, has been serving the LGBTQIA+ community for over 45 years. They offer one of the largest and most diverse sperm donor catalogs and ship to all 50 states and over 40 countries. So wherever you are, they've got you covered. I love them so much. Plus, they go beyond just sperm. They really do. They have perks like free vial transfers between partners, which is really important for our community. They give you personalized letters for second parent adoption, which is also very important for our community. And their Family Today and Family Tomorrow programs offer free vial storage, which means, in essence, they are committed to making your journey as a LGBTQIA person as smooth as possible, which I absolutely love. And here's the cherry on top. They offer free newborn stem cell preservation, which is really cool, financing options, which is also cool, and they offer access to a private sibling donor registry. they really are with you every single step of the way. I know firsthand because I called them multiple times when I was on my donor search because I got cray-cray, as some of us do. So all you have to do to start your donor search today at cryobank.com is use promo code LOVEISLOVE, and you're going to get a free level 2 subscription or a discount on a level 3 subscription to help you grow your family one step at a time. So go use that code LOVEISLOVE and start finding that donor. I love y'all. Mwah. Enjoy the episode. Back to the show.
Love is love.
So let's move forward. So you're living your life in the world. Things are going great. Where should we take it next to get to this family building journey of yours?
I feel like my fertility journey is pretty long, so we should just like jump in.
Let's get in. Yeah. Let's dig in. We know that you were not ready to choose your embryo. So you were on testosterone for, what did you say, 8 years?
Yeah.
And then decided that maybe you wanted to try, or what, did something change?
Originally, I wanted kids before I was 25.
Wow.
I like wanted kids early. My parents had me when they were 23. I like the dynamic of having younger parents growing up. And I just like always knew I wanted to be a parent. So it didn't make sense that I was going to wait. Mm-hmm. And I had a partner at the time who I was planning to have kids with. And we were planning around that. And my like polyness and my queerness kind of got in the way of that, because I realized that I was still bisexual and I wanted to have a chance to explore what relationships could look like with men too. And I had been in a monogamous relationship since high school, and I just like wanted to explore myself. And I never really felt like monogamy fit for me. And that relationship just didn't work out because of that. And so I just went on a journey of trying to figure out who I was and also build community, because community has been such a big aspect of my life also. So I've really poured myself into building community in the last several years, actually probably my whole life. I have poured myself into building community. And then I started approaching 30 and was like, I still don't have kids. This feels really important to me. I don't have a partner that I want to co-parent with. So how is this going to work? And I tried dating for a bit to find that. And I realized that I was just being like very overeager and overlooking red flags and just like really trying to find a co-parent. And that felt like a really difficult thing to do while also trying to find a partner.
And a co-parent and a partner wouldn't necessarily be the same person.
Not necessarily, but that is what I wanted. But yeah, it didn't have to be the same. But it's just like two very different avenues of things to look for. Like, I know that most people look for them together, and I wanted that together too. But there's also like qualities that make a good co-parent and qualities that make a good partner. And trying to find all of those things at the same time on like a short timeline just felt really stressful.
Especially when you're looking for it precisely that. Life doesn't work that way.
It was COVID. And for some reason, because I just throw myself into things, I decided now is the time. I'm just going to be a solo parent.
Now that I'm stuck at home and I shouldn't see anybody, this is the time. Here we go.
Yeah, I was just getting closer to 30. I was like, let me look into doing this alone. Like, I have friends that are single parents. I can see that it's very difficult. But like, this is actually what I want. I want to be a parent. And I do want a partner, but that doesn't have to come at the same time. So if I go down this journey of having a kid, then that can be my priority right now, because that feels like really where my priorities lie, not in finding a partner at the moment. So I decided to look into what that would look like. And as someone who hadn't really considered being pregnant before, that wasn't where I started. I looked into adoption and foster care as options, but I was also only renting a room in a friend's house. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to afford to like get my own place. Mm-hmm. And as a single trans man, I didn't think my chances were very high of adopting. And also there are so many problematic things with foster care that I just didn't want to navigate alone. And I'm still open to maybe going down that path one day, but it just felt way too hard to do that by myself. So
I get that. Yeah.
Looking into my options, I was like, being pregnant wouldn't be terrible. I feel like that's something I could do. It is the most cost-effective way to bring a child into the world, I thought.
So depending.
For me, as someone who has a functional uterus and was just going to use like a known donor for a sperm, I was like, this isn't something that's going to cost a lot of money if I go this route. So I started to feel into that and decided that that was the route that I was going to go down.
So did you have a known donor in mind?
I did not.
Okay. So how'd we get there?
Yeah, so that was like one of the weirdest parts of the journey. Like, I've heard you talk about it on your podcast many times.
The search for that superhuman.
Yeah, I'm someone who researches a lot. And I had done a lot of reading about people's experiences as donor-conceived people. And while I think like all methods of bringing kids into the world are valid, I really wanted to have the ability for my kid to connect with their donor. That felt like something that was really important to me. Also, as someone who is like polyamorous and queer and has like an expansive view of family, it felt like strange for me not to have that kind of relationship.
That totally tracks. Yeah, I can see that. Right. It all tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just kind of like rolls in my head. I had started looking just on like Facebook groups and apps so that there'd be like a little bit of distance that I wouldn't be like super connected to this donor, but that I could still have the ability to connect with them. And after doing that for a little bit, it just felt like weird. And I wasn't really sure like how that would work. Couldn't like trust how many times this person had like gone out and done this.
Yeah.
And yeah, people can present themselves as one thing and end up being another. And one of the biggest qualities I was looking for in a donor was like a kind person that my kid could have a conversation with so that I knew that if they showed up, they would be well received. And also right. that like my transness wouldn't be a problem, like that person would know. It wouldn't be a surprise.
Totally.
I was very open about my process on my social media and just kind of like threw it out there that I was looking for a donor. Had a couple people respond that didn't really feel like a good fit. And I was talking to my roommate at the time and I mentioned that I was talking to someone in another city and she was like, oh, this person? And I was like, no, but they would probably be a good fit. And I reached out to him and it was like one of the most awkward conversations of my life to be like, hello, can I have your sperm?
This was somebody you knew, though, right?
I knew, yeah. Like, so at this point, this is somebody I knew. And he was like, yeah, I saw your post and I was thinking about it. And like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. And he was like, can I have some time? And I was like, yeah, you can have some time. He's like, what about 6 months? And I was like, I want to do this in like 2 months. So like, what if I give you a month? And he was like, yeah, I can probably like work out my feelings around this in a month. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
And then a month later, he was like, yeah, I want to do this with you. I feel like this would be really cool.
Wow. That's amazing. Because it's a big decision for somebody to say yes to this. You know, it's a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful thing to do. And also, it's a huge decision. And then what did you do? Because then you have to figure out all the ins and outs of how this relationship is going to work, right?
I had gotten a donor contract through my process of like trying to go through the like Facebook app route. Mm-hmm. I had found someone who had already donated in the same province as me and had that. And he wasn't interested in donating, but was like, here, I can like give you this like legal stuff that I have done with other people, if that's helpful
that's
to
cool.
you. And I was like, yeah, that's great. So I had a legal contract that had already been written up by a lawyer that I just like went through and changed all the pronouns because it didn't really reflect me. We decided to start in a month and then I got in a car accident and we had to delay for another month.
Okay. And you were both in agreement for how the relationship would work. And he was like, yep, I will be there. I think I know what you were looking for because you were looking for somebody who your child could know if they wanted to and have conversations with. But how involved were you saying that he would be?
So I kind of left that open to him. Like he is someone that I trust. And mm-hmm. also like our process of trying to conceive ended up being 3 years. So he is now someone that I like trust a lot. He was on the journey with me the entire time. And yeah. I've always kind of left it open ended. There was like never an intention of him being a parent, but I always left it open ended on like how much he wants to connect and not. One thing he did ask for and was open to like hearing no was if he could be at the birth, just because he thought that that would be like an interesting thing to like be a part of. And I was open to that, especially after like 3 years of going through this process together. Like, he's someone that I feel really connected to. So he was at the birth of our kid. So we have this like really beautiful friendship now. And we still haven't really like had a chance to discuss like what he wants for involvement at this point, now that like our kid is in the world. But like, he has seen our little one a couple of times and is like coming to stay with us in a month for a little bit for other reasons. And just like, the relationship option is open. I will be like inviting him to birthday parties and things. He does live 3 hours away, which also was very difficult for our trying to conceive journey.
Yeah.
But like, he's not in the city with us, so it's not like he's there all the time. But like, we're just like leaving that open-ended to figure out like how the two of them connect and what they want and like what our child wants.
How did you do the insemination process? You did it at home insemination, or did you go to a clinic? Or it was 3 years, so.
We went to his house many times. So it was many 3 hour drives over the course of 3 years. And I had like a pretty complicated cycle. So I was always like trying to figure out when to go and just like dropping everything last minute to just like drive 3 hours to go meet with the donor. We used like the soft cup method. So, you know, he did his business. I had the cup. We were separate. It was all at home.
All at home. But for 3 years, you stuck with it and you continued to do it. That is commitment on both parts. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And finally, 3 years later, congratulations, it worked.
Yeah. So I was pregnant two other times because I had two losses along the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So it's been a journey.
Yeah. Wait, this whole time then you were off testosterone?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was really, really hard for me to stop. I didn't really think too much of it because, again, just throw myself into things. I was like, this is what I'm doing, and just kind of stopped. I didn't even like intentionally stop. I just kind of like decided halfway through like my shot cycle that I just wasn't going to do anymore. And I was like, this is the time. I'm doing it now. Yeah. So like the first month wasn't too bad. And then I started getting like really, really emotional. And I did have a partner at the time. We just like were never intending to co-parent. She lived with her other partner. I broke up with her. I got a concussion. There was like many things that happened at the same time. So it's really hard for me to tell like what was testosterone and what was just like my life shifting and like throwing myself into this new process that was by myself. And I had a lot of support, but like, yeah, my hormones were like all over the place. And I found, especially for the first 6 months, it was really difficult for me to just like feel grounded. And I was also, it took 6 months for me to start the process of trying to conceive after stopping testosterone. So just like those 6 months were really wild. And I was very hormonal and crying all the time and trying to navigate the world. And then it started to get a little bit easier. I also met my wife, so was like thrown into new relationship energy. I had just started trying to conceive. I think I was on my second or third cycle when I met my wife. And on our second date, I was like, I might be pregnant, just so you know. Like, we had both mentioned we were polyamorous, which kind of gives like a lot of expansiveness in how we build relationships. So like, I wasn't looking for a co-parent. I met her on Tinder on a day that it was just like, I would like to have someone to cuddle and chat with sometimes. And I don't necessarily need to find a co-parent. That was like not what I was looking for at all. I went on Tinder for like one day. My wife also went on Tinder for one day and we just met each other.
Wow. This is an ad for Tinder, if anything.
Right?
That's it's amazing. And so you went in there and you were like upfront, like, I am going to be a parent sooner than later. And I'm not looking for somebody to parent with me, but that's what the deal is. And she was like, let's go. Okay.
Yeah. We met on the dance floor, like on a date, and we're both like very dancey people. And we just like clicked instantly. Our bodies just like understood each other. And yeah, the next day I was like, I might be pregnant. And she was like really supportive and was like, cool. How can I support you in that? We didn't really start talking about co-parenting right away. It was just like, oh, this is a thing you're doing. That's great. I'm happy with kids. I like kids. That's fine. Within a few months, we were starting to talk about co-parenting, which to me is wild, because in every other relationship, I needed to like at least 3 years before having serious conversations about this. Cause I was like, I need to know people really well. I need to like make sure this person is a really good fit for like my family. But with Jenna, it just like felt right. And I Googled like hundreds of questions to ask someone before co-parenting with them. And we just like sat down over the course of several nights and was like, do we align in how we would want to co-parent? Are values the same? Are how we want to raise kids the same? If we're going to do this together, we want to make sure that we have these conversations beforehand.
So you two found out you were totally on board with each other. And then she went down the path with you because you weren't pregnant yet at this point, right?
No, it was just like that constant every month of like, am I pregnant? I don't know.
And she joined you on this journey.
Yeah, they did. And my wife is also gender fluid and uses both they and she pronouns. So I will rotate back and forth. But yeah, they just joined me on the journey. Within 4 months, I proposed and was like, let's get married. And they were like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. So we just like definitely U-hauled it.
Uh-huh. There you go.
About 6 months in was when I first got pregnant.
Oh, wow. So you went through that together.
Yeah. So we had like spent 6 months together getting to know each other. I found out I was pregnant the day after Christmas, and it was very magical. I had felt like I had connected with like a spirit that came and had a negotiation with me on whether we were going to be a good family. And I like woke up knowing that I was pregnant. And then we got a positive test in the morning and we were both like elated. It felt like it had been so long. Like at that point, like the first 6 months just like felt like they had been years.
Mm-hmm.
It, like every month was so long, and it felt like it was like we finally were at this place where this was going to happen. And then that pregnancy was very short. It only lasted for about a week, and I miscarried, and we just like went into a place of really deep grief together and just retreated from the world entirely. And I've heard so much like this idea of like chemical pregnancy and how people like often think that like it's not a grieving process because it was like so short, but it was really intense. And there was so much grief because there was so much love. Like we had so much love for this little baby and dreams for what that was going to look like. And yeah, we were devastated. It was really, really hard.
I'm sorry. That sucks. But you moved through it. And then eventually you got pregnant.
Well, I got pregnant one more time before I got pregnant. Yeah. And on this whole journey, also, I was off testosterone. So there was like this constant like, how many more months am I willing to try this and be off testosterone?
Right. And now your wife has never even known you on testosterone at this point.
No.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
So it was constantly like, how many more months am I willing to try this? And at this point, also, Jenna was like, well, maybe I'll want to get pregnant.
Oh.
And we were like, okay, well, we have the ability to potentially like switch this over. But I was so invested at this point, and I'm like very stubborn. And I kept being like, okay, in a couple more months, if this doesn't work out, then we can switch. And then we get to a couple more months and I'd be like, no, absolutely not. I want to do it for a couple more months. And it just like kept going like that, because it was something that I had really wanted at that point. And I'd already felt what it was like to be pregnant for the first time. And it felt really magical. And I was just like, oh, I want that kind of connection now that I've like had a tiny, tiny taste of it.
I mean, it took me forever too.
Yeah. And
I can speak firsthand. Like once you start that journey, you just want it. I wouldn't know how to give up. I would probably still be trying if it hadn't worked. Whoever has to make that decision, it's got to be so hard and tough. And, you know, I'm there for you. But I also understand that yearning, like, nope, I got to go. Here we go. It's happening. Nobody's deterring me from this. I get it.
Yeah. And when you're in it, you're like in it. It's like everything about life is about like trying to conceive. It's so hard to like not be fully consumed by this process.
It's true. I even look back at memories and I just realized that I compartmentalized them in, that's the period of time when I was trying to get pregnant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that 3 year span is when I was trying to get pregnant. That's it. Like that's how I see it.
Yeah. I feel like everything else got put on hold in that time.
Yeah.
even though I was doing other stuff, it just like that was always kind of like on the back end, like trying to conceive was first, always in my mind. Because we had this testosterone timeline, I also didn't really like take much break in between my miscarriage. I think we took like 1 month off, maybe 2 months off, and then jumped back in again, because otherwise I was just going to be like longer waiting to be off testosterone. And at that point, I also was able to see an OB and start kind of like looking in to see if anything was wrong. And really frustratingly, it was like nothing. Nothing is wrong.
I hate that.
And our donor went in to get tested too, and nothing was wrong with him either. So we were like, there's like no reason this isn't working that anyone can tell us. There's no like reason why I had a loss. And yeah, it was really hard.
Same, same. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
And then it just goes to show how much it really, truly is magic. Mm-hmm. It's so magic.
A few months later, I got pregnant again and was like really, really anxious through that whole pregnancy. I had kind of always felt like I was going to have another loss. And everyone kept being like, no, you're just being anxious. And I was like, no, like, I feel like something is like, I know, like my intuition just knows that something is going to happen. So I spent that entire pregnancy being like extremely anxious. We were also trying to like navigate new polyamorous relationships. And I was just like a chaotic mess. And then I had a loss at 11 weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
And I had like a really magical labor, though, that felt like it like healed pieces of me.
Oh.
Because even though I had a miscarriage, I was like in a forest surrounded by community at a festival and was able to like really take time and space to like be in that process. And I felt like really connected with the land. I felt really connected with community. And I felt like my body like knew what to do, even though it was in this loss. And just for so long, I had started feeling really negatively about how my body was functioning in this process, that like my body just like didn't know how to do this and that it was my fault and like all of these things. And in that loss, I just felt like I regained ability like in my body. It felt really healing, even though it was like this really terrible thing that was happening. It just like I felt like I finally got connected to myself.
Wow, that's profound. Yeah, it was like your body affirming itself to you and the simpatico of the system.
And Jana was there and able to support me through it. And I feel like it just like also like really solidified our relationship and like their ability to support me and just like any anxieties that I had about going into labor kind of dissipated, because I was like, we've done this before. And I mean, it came back later when I was very pregnant the next time, but I just like felt more confident in who we were and in our relationship and in my body. And even though it was this terrible thing and I would always choose to have our baby in the world if that was possible, it was also like such a journey of healing. I'm really grateful that that little one gave that to us.
Well, that's sweet. Whew, so you work through that and you're still off testosterone and you are still trying to get pregnant, and then it finally happens.
Yeah. And we had decided we were going to do IVF at this point.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, was there ever a point where you were like, all right, let's take this to the scientists?
Yeah. And like our donor had also many times been like, if you need to find a new donor, like that is okay. Like, it's okay. Like you're driving 3 hours each time. And I was like, no, we're invested. Like we're in this together now. Like I can't see us ever using like anybody but you. Like this is just like, you're a part of our family now at this point. It just like felt so wrong. Like it felt like we were just like meant to do this together. We were like, okay, I'm clearly not willing to give up on this. We've had many times of like, okay, a few more months and then we'll switch. And I keep being like, absolutely not. So like, what else can we do? So we decided we were going to do IVF, but we still wanted to use our known donor. Like that just felt really important to me at that point. And in Canada, it's quite complicated to use known donors. I don't know about in the States if it is in IVF, but we had decided we were going to go to Mexico because it was much easier to do it.
I've talked to folks who've gone to Mexico to do IVF, and it's easier and it's cheaper too.
And we had worked out the costs and we're like, it would probably end up costing us about the same if we do it here, or if we go to Mexico, do it and have like a month long vacation.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, we can just go hang out on the beach and go through this process and like really have time to drop in. So we had met with the fertility clinic, we had made a plan, and I was like, we're going to try one more cycle. We're going to try one more cycle before we go. And that was the cycle. And we only saw our donor once. And we almost didn't go,
what?
But I was just like, we're just going to go one time, one more time. I just need to know that we've tried everything that we can do before we spend all of this money and like go through this complicated process. And that was the time. That was the time that I got pregnant and stayed pregnant.
Wow, that's amazing. See, there you go. Trying to conceive is stressful.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then that's, oh my God, that just gives hope. And then also it's like, what the hell? Then why wasn't it working this whole time?
Yeah. I don't know if I just like happened to get it right at the right time in my cycle, or just like the pressure was off, or the timing.
Right.
Like, I have no idea. Magic.
Who knows, but magic. Let's just call it magic, because I like to use the technical terms on this show, and we're going to call it magic. Just magic happened and it worked that time.
Yeah.
All right. And then how did the pregnancy go? I mean, you're still not on testosterone. So what was it like experiencing pregnancy?
I was like a pretty disconnected for a while, like after having a couple of losses. And even though like both Jan and I really felt like this time it was going to work, like from the very beginning, we were like, this feels like the right time. Like it feels like everything lined up. Just intuitively, we both were like, this feels right this time. The other times didn't feel right. This time feels different. Mm-hmm. And we're both like very intuitive, magic people. So we were like, yeah. But also I was very disconnected because I wasn't even sure if I could trust that anymore. It had been so, so long. So I was really disconnected for the first little while. And I think I remained disconnected for most of my pregnancy, but there were definitely moments of being more connected, especially with the kicking. Like our baby was extremely active. Like it never stopped. At one point I thought my ribs might be broken. Like it was, we had an aggressive little one. I mean, it was painful, but it also felt nice of like getting that like constant reassurance of like, I'm here, Dad, I'm here. And that was really nice. And both my partner and I do Reiki, and our baby responded really well to Reiki. So like if we did Reiki, they would like always like kick back where we were at. So we had like a way of communicating with them in the womb.
That's cool.
And
wow.
Yeah. So it was really cool. And now that I'm not pregnant anymore, I'm like, man, I really miss being pregnant. I want to do it again. But I think that the reality is it was actually not great. And Jana took care of me most of the time and keeps reminding me of that because I'm like, I want to be pregnant again.
That's the post-birth hormones, I think. They do that to you.
Yeah. And I was also very open about my pregnancy online and got like a lot of hate throughout my pregnancy.
Oh, that's awful.
As a stubborn person, sometimes I find that when I have more hate coming my way, I end up loving myself more because I have to like put up more of a shield around myself that to like nurture myself. So there were times I definitely had to disconnect. I had to really like ground and find my own confidence and step into like love. Otherwise I would have crumbled because my videos were getting like 50 million views and I was getting like attacked from all angles. And it was complicated.
It's infuriating. And I'm stuck in some algorithm as well, like on Facebook, where it's just all hate. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And not okay. And that sucks that you were having to deal with that when you were pregnant.
And it also like affirmed my reason for doing it. You know, you do a podcast so that you can normalize these things.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't really met people like me. I had never really seen trans men be pregnant and like make the intentional choice to do that. Being like open about my process and my life have had a lot of people connect with me also and be like, wow, I like didn't know this was a thing I could do. Or like, you're the only person I've ever like seen that's like me. Can I like talk to you about my pregnancy? Or which is also why I'm making a podcast for trans parents, because
right.
Yeah, we need that representation.
Agreed, 100%. And you're doing a really wonderful thing. And it sucks that it has to come with a cost at all. Like, what the hell? What you're doing is amazing and beautiful. And, you know, everybody should check you out and send some love and put some loving comments up for you, because you're a trailblazer and you're moving us forward in a really important way. So
yeah,
it's really important. Mm. And I also think that the podcast that you're starting really does need to happen. I love hearing stories of trans births and trans folks making their families, but I am a cisgendered woman and it's not my story to tell. So I think that having you, I think this is amazing. And I'm so excited for this podcast if you really do it. I love it.
Recorded the first episode already, mostly because I was coming on your podcast and I was like, I need to line these up. So you've given me motivation and also like some structure. Right. So thank you.
Oh, okay. No problem. I'm here for you. No, I think it's really great because there need to be more podcasts like this about, you know, these queer family journeys, and they need to be told from all different voices. So there needs to be a host like you at the helm of a show, and there needs to be so much more.
We have a healthy, vibrant, chaotic little child, and I love them very much.
The whole story is just a beautiful story, and it's just a beautiful queer parenting journey, and it's an important one.
Yeah.
And I am grateful that you are sharing your story, that you came and you shared it with me, and that you're sharing it with the rest of the world, because it needs to be told, and these stories need to be out there and normalized. Is there anything else you want to say about your experience, or, you know, your experience of being a dad? Are you dad?
I'm dad. My partner is going by Zaza, though our child has kind of like decided mama is the thing. I'm not really sure how that happened, but we're like, no, Zaza. But obviously babies can't say Z sounds yet. But yeah, I mean, we're also doing gender creative parenting. So we're using they, them pronouns for our baby. And it's been interesting to like navigate the world without like making a gender announcement or a sex announcement of any kind.
And like even just going to the pediatrician, you have to check a box.
Yeah. And our pediatrician is lovely and like picked up that we were using they, them pronouns. And like, we're not like, we're also just like fine with people using whatever pronouns they want to use. We're not going to argue about it because our kid doesn't care. And if our kid decides something in the future, then we will like be more adamant about it. But like, we are using they, them pronouns. And yeah, our pediatrician just like picked it up and was like, oh, you use they, them pronouns. Great. And I was like, okay, cool.
And that's the community aspect. You got to find your community. You have to find people. You got to find that chosen family, you know, all the things, so that we can go about this world feeling affirmed and valued and loved and normal.
Yeah. I've also like started a journey to become a doula because I felt like I wasn't like, I felt like I was very supported in my pregnancy by my team, but I also like didn't really feel like I could have the option of a doula. And I now know that that's wrong because I now know the doulas in my city and there would have been many lovely options, but I just like didn't really feel like people would be able to support me as a trans person. And I constantly have people like reaching out to me, asking me questions. And I'm like, okay, let's make something out of this. Let me give people support. And so I'm kind of, I'm on the journey of becoming a labor doula and starting a podcast, and I'm excited to figure out how all of that fits together.
That is super, super amazing. And I love that. I love everything you're doing. It's awesome, and keep going. So tell everybody at home where they can find you and all the things.
I have made an Instagram for the podcast and doula stuff. It's called Transparent Journeys. So that will be the name of the podcast.
If you like it,
want to find my personal stuff, I'm on Instagram as flyguy.circus, because I was also a circus performer at one point. Might be again. Who knows? I have a crazy life.
Oh my God, that's like my dream. I was a musical theater performer and I always wanted to be in a circus, like always.
Yeah.
Like always.
Be queer, join the circus.
So Flyguy Circus. Everybody should go follow.
Yeah.
Follow.
I'm an oversharer, so you will find out everything about my life.
I love oversharers. It's amazing. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a pleasure. I'm so, so glad we connected and you were able to tell your story. And I'm looking forward to hearing your podcast.
Thanks for having me. And thanks for doing this work for so long and putting together so many episodes. it has definitely helped me feel like more seen and like I've had community in both my pregnancy and fertility journey just by being able to listen in. So,
oh, that means the world to hear. Ah, I appreciate you. Well, thank you. And good luck with that little 8-month-old, because here you go. Here it comes.
Yeah. Yeah. The crawling has started. The pulling to stand has started. We're like, baby proof. We need to baby proof now.
Yep. Get ready. Here it comes. But it's the best thing ever. So enjoy it as much as you can.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge thank you once again to my sponsor for this episode, California Cryo Bank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And then come tell me about it.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone. Which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.